Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, not live tonight for a special bonus stage episode, but this is the episode that will be airing at our Twitch channel on March the 1st of 2020. So happy March. We're kind of fast forwarding in time. We're doing the time warp again with myself, Rob Roberts, and over there, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
My brain is pulp.
I know, we all had to work today. Usually when we do this show, we don't have to work like earlier in the day, but today we had to work. So
I'm in the middle of training.
Oh, fun.
It's
That's
so
my job.
It's so funny that, like, because I normally work 4x10 and I'm working 5x8 this week. I'm only 3 days in and I'm more tired than I would have been on a normal work day.
I'm hoping at some point I can switch my schedule to 4x10 because that's a thing we're allowed to do, but just, you know, it hasn't logistically made sense yet. But
I at least wore my death metal shirt today, which was awesome.
Awesome. All right. And also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Who's dressed up in a little button-down shirt like me. Yeah.
I have a gamer shirt under it.
I do that too. I wear a lot of like gamer shirts. I don't remember what I have on today. I think it's just a plain one. But a lot of times I wear like gamer t-shirts and stuff
I have
like, underneath.
Flynn's Arcade shirt under.
Okay, there you go. So we're all – I know you can't see it unless you're on our Twitch channel. You just happen to be there Sunday night because we do usually tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after Bobby Blackwolf at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, also available at vognetwork.com. Our next live show we will return on March 15th. How dare I? I booked a cruise, as I've been saying on the show for the past few weeks, so I'm going to be gone for a little bit. And I think, Jamie, you said you're going to a sister's thing one of these nights as well, right? I thought that was a thing. Maybe I made that up.
No, that's in April.
Okay, well.
But I might be going to a GDC after party.
Well, there you go. Oh, so GDC is still happening. I've been hearing in the news this week that more and more companies are back. I think it's more
I'm just
going
to the parties, but it's a Sony party, so I don't know if that got canceled. But I got a confirmation about it today.
Huh.
It's like the LGBT inclusion party.
Oh, cool.
And no, it's sponsored by Microsoft. Never mind.
Well, that's quite the mix-up, my friend. Well,
I can't brain. I have the lurgy.
It was the Nintendo PlayStation box.
I used up all my logic learning logic.
It's fine. It's fine. Anyway, where was I? I went on a tangent, but I was talking about how Loki and I kind of look different on the feed today just because we're doing this right after work. So
I don't
look
any different.
Well, no, because you're the voice off camera. You're the mysterious.
But I'm actually not wearing anything different than what I would normally wear anyway because my work doesn't have a dress code.
Yeah,
we legit do not have a dress. It says in our HR that there is no dress code.
Well, the dress code where I'm at is basically make good choices. But here's what it's really about. I'm wearing slightly nicer clothes because I can't wear anything that is going to go on the cruise with us. So like my jeans, I can't wear. So I have to wear like the nice because we're going to the tropics. I'm not bringing this. As much as I like this button up shirt, it's one of my favorites. I'm not taking this all the way to the Bahamas. So I'm kind of wearing these clothes now because the other ones are starting to pop. We're actually packing not the night before. I'm very proud of Alan and I. We've already started the packing process. So so some of my clothes are already packed basically. So otherwise I would wear like jeans or something more relaxed.
I think I owe exactly 3 button-ups and 2 of them are flannel.
But you got one on now.
It's a flannel, yeah.
It's good. All right, anyway. Enough about fashion. Let's talk about video games because we are going to talk about some of the things that have happened so far in this week. We're about halfway through the week when we're taping this show. But again, this show is going to air on Twitch on March 1st. So some big things may have happened. But it may not have happened yet at the night we're taping this, so if we missed a headline or two, we'll catch up on all the big stories when we return live on March 15th over on Twitch. But for now, let's talk about one of the bigger stories that's happened so far this week, and it has to do with Xbox Series X, a Microsoft story. Microsoft actually put out a new blog post that's teasing some more features. It's starting to tease a little more about the what's really inside it and so forth. So, for example, they had – I think this is actually a new confirmation, 12 teraflops of GPU performance.
Yeah.
Of course, I have no idea how does one measure a teraflop?
I don't know.
535,000 floppy minutes? I don't know. Like, how do you –
It's processor – It's how fast it processes information, but I don't know how.
You said you saw some post earlier that said
There's someone that was posting something. It was about saying that it was about as powerful as 165 GameCubes or something like that, and okay. They had like a picture, like a graphic of GameCubes taped together. But it still that wasn't as powerful as it. It was like close. It was like 12 something.
So you can maybe run 164 different Windows with Smash Brothers Melee on it, but not 165.
Yeah,
it's too many.
165 GameCubes, that's like the size of the original Xbox.
I see. All right. They are saying four times more powerful than the Xbox One. So if you want to, you know.
And it's got some pretty nice specs in it.
NVMe SSD, which, you know, we kind of knew about the SSD already, which is going to help speed up load times. Although I'm also hearing that the SSD, you know, because I was seeing a different story, kind of a somewhat unrelated story about how Sony is struggling with cost issues on the PlayStation 5. Now, obviously, nothing's confirmed. Mm-hmm. This is all like rumor stuff from investor forecasters and things like that. But apparently, the SSD supply issue is something that's coming into question. And I don't know if that's related to COVID or if that's because of just, you know, certain technological parts kind of go in and out of demand. Like, remember when everybody was buying up the graphic cards fucking Bitcoin? Yeah, all that stuff. So I don't know if the SSD is something like that.
I don't know. They're popular.
Yeah, perhaps. But anyway, so Xbox Series X is planning to have the NVMe SSD. Now, what also was very interesting and probably one of the highlights of the post that people were, you know, spreading around was their technology, if you want, called Smart Delivery. That's how they're branding it. And so Smart Delivery is you buy the game once and you play the best version possible either on the Series X or the Xbox One. So, for example, Halo Infinite. Let's say you're not ready to buy Xbox Series X because maybe it's going to be an expensive console. So, but you still – and usually, especially when this last generation of games wasn't readily backwards compatible, Xbox One got there eventually. But remember, it launched when Phil Spencer wasn't CEO. It launched without backwards compatibility, and it never came to PlayStation 4. So right now, there's a lot of mindset out there that if you buy a console, you don't get to play your old games again. You know, or, well, I'm going to wait and just buy this on the new console. It's kind of going to be changing the way of thinking because now if, I'm not ready to buy the Xbox Series X yet, but I buy Halo Infinite now for my Xbox One, I'll be able to play it on Xbox Series X, not only just play the same version, but play the enhanced version.
Yeah, I got to wonder if that's going to go away at some point.
I don't think so because, honestly, this is how it kind of should work because that's how PCs.
Right.
This has been a strong argument in favor of PCs. You upgrade your graphics card
and, I get
and your
that.
Game plays better. Yeah.
But eventually, you know, game performance, you know, like PCs, eventually that lower end keeps going up and up and up. So eventually
I see. So eventually the game can't really be made for Xbox One anymore.
Yes.
Well, I wonder if that's where they're going to start, and they haven't said this yet, but I wonder if that's where they're going to start relying on cloud. So, like, this game doesn't run on the Xbox One, but we'll run it through the cloud.
Maybe.
And I wonder if that's the ultimate answer we end up with for Microsoft.
Maybe by the time we get to that point, you know.
Yeah. They are also saying it's not necessarily going to be for every title. They can only really guarantee it for their titles. So the company says Smart Delivery will be standard for Xbox Game Studio titles, and it'll be available for third-party developers to implement. I believe Cyberpunk has already come out and said they will be one of those games that supports the Smart Delivery. So some third parties are already getting on this, but it's not guaranteed. And I especially imagine in the indie universe, it might be a little trickier. You know, I don't know how.
Well, and also some of those might not necessarily be making an enhanced version as well, so it might be easier for them. Who knows?
Very true. Some other features they're talking about with Xbox Series X, they want to do a quick resume capability, which will let you jump back into multiple titles from where you left off. Now, you can kind of do this right now on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. They're kind of the
Switch.
Same. And Switch, right? Well, where my brain goes on PlayStation 4 is it's really good with multitasking one game and a TV service. So, for example, I've been mentioning on the show the past couple weeks, I've been playing a lot of No Man's Sky, right?
Yeah.
Well, what I might do is when I'm sick of playing No Man's Sky and I just want to veg on the couch and surf my phone, maybe I'll switch to Twitch and I'll watch one of my streamer buddies on Twitch. Well, then when I go back to No Man's Sky, I pick up right where I left off. I don't have to – it picks up the suspend. So it doesn't have to, like, reload my save file because the save files take a long time to load in that game.
Yeah.
So it doesn't – I go right back to where I left off, which is kind of nice. So imagine you could do that, but with multiple games. Like you have your Halo is suspended here, your Cyberpunk suspended here, Ori is suspended here. You can kind of go back and forth. That's kind of neat. I mean, I don't think it's a game changer, but it's kind of one of those, again, well, when you minimize a window in Windows or Mac, whatever, but I say Windows because Microsoft does Windows.
Yeah, but if I'm running,
I see more and more cross.
I mean, I just hope it works better than loading multiple games at one time because that usually tanks performance because you have multiple games running
true.
At the same time.
Very true.
But, I mean, it's not a deal breaker if it didn't work like that. As long as my expectation is as long as it works like it does now, then that's mm-hmm. fine.
And then one other thing that they talked about in the blog post is dynamic latency input, or DLI, inside the wireless controller to reduce the delay between the buttons you're pressing and what appears on the screen. So what they're trying to do is basically make, you know, the connection between the Bluetooth controller that you use and the TV, like, instantaneous, basically, which, you know, I don't feel like it's really been a problem. You can play music games on wireless controllers, and it's fine. You might have to adjust the timing or whatever, but it's usually pretty good. So I wonder if they are trying to narrow that down, though, to help with the cloud. I imagine it's not something that's going to be as noticeable in your living room as it will be for the cloud. Because, again, in my limited use of Google Stadia, although I've played a few things, it finally ran out. So I don't have Google Stadia Pro anymore. It ran out, right? I didn't re-up it for 3 more months, which, by the way, check. You're automatically subscribed when you sign up for it. If you go through, so turn it off. You don't have to talk to anybody or call anybody. You just have to go in and turn it off, or it's going to resub. And it might have already done that for you. Just check, unless you want to keep it. But anyway, with Stadia, I've played things like Thumper, which is kind of a music horror game, I believe they describe it as, right?
Yeah.
It plays fine, which is the most impressive part of Stadia's technology in many ways, is that, like, there really is an input lag. So I wonder if, you know, this is kind of part of that as well. So it's, you know, it's neat, and it sounds like a cool direction for Microsoft. And, you know, that's really all I have to say about these updates. But what I think is also notable about all of this is that, you know, it's keeping Microsoft's name out there. It's getting the blog post written about them and so forth. And on the other side, Sony, still kind of a question mark, which I don't think is the end of the world. I really feel like we were doing the same song and dance. Who wants to do
a
dong
different
dance?
Show?
That's a very different show.
Some people are into that.
Stay tuned. Late nights at Vogue Network. just kidding. We don't want to get banned from Twitch. But the same old song and dance when it was the Nintendo Switch, because I'm almost positive we were like, when's Nintendo going to show it? When are they going to fucking show it? Like, are they ever going to announce this goddamn thing? And then they finally did, like, 6 weeks before it came out, and they didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
And Sony has followed in the path of Nintendo on a couple things. I would say the Nintendo Directs being one of them. And changing their E3 strategy, although we know Nintendo still does E3. They don't do conferences at E3 anymore. So,
do you think they'll announce after Microsoft? Like especially when Microsoft announces price points and stuff, just to kind of, like, maybe undercut them?
I do think Sony's waiting to hear the price. Because now this is a rumor, but the rumor is that when that E3 happened all those years ago, when you know, Sony basically punched Xbox in the kidney after, you know, their performance and undercut them by $100 and had all those videos about that, the rumor is that Sony had 3 presentations ready to go at 3 different prices. And they were waiting for Microsoft to reveal theirs before they revealed – it was the next day. So it was like Microsoft did like Monday or whatever, and Sony was on Tuesday. So once they heard Microsoft's price, they made a decision Tuesday morning, this is the price, and they went with that presentation. But they had 3 presentations ready to go. One was $100 higher and the other was $100 lower. I don't know how that would have played out, but yeah. So interesting, huh? Anyway, that is a rumor, but it's one of those – if we want to, on this very special bonus episode of Orange Lounge Radio, as much as I hate what this has turned into, if we want to bring back the plausibility scale for a night, the fact that Sony had three different presentations ready to go and they picked after Microsoft went, I would give a mostly green light on the plausibility scale. What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's plausible.
Yeah. And I so the fact that maybe they're making a similar type of game of chicken of wait and see, I think is very possible. Especially because Microsoft has now committed themselves essentially to revealing the price and all of the details at E3. Sony hasn't. And all this stuff about Sony's going to do an event in February, Sony's going to do an event in March, it's either off of what Sony has done before, which I know is ironic because we literally just use the plausibility scale.
They could still do that and talk about the system but not announce the price or dates.
That's very true. That's very true. They could. They could do something like this where they just talk about it does this and this and this. And yes, it does look like a giant U-shaped – or I guess they're saying a V for 5 in Roman. Do you think it's – that's – I mean, y'all have seen the dev kits, right? They're like these giant
I would
V's.
Hope it's sleeker looking than that because that thing looks like – ridiculous.
That thing looks like a beast.
Just put it in. Just like, it doesn't need the U shape. Just put it in a PC tower case. Like, make it like with LEDs.
I don't want it to scare my cat.
Stuff on it. Put a big, like, it just looks weird. But that's a dev kit, so, you know.
No, I know. We can't base anything off the dev kit, but have to wonder. You have to wonder.
Yeah, you do have to wonder, because, like, why shape the dev kit like that? That's weird, too. Like, dev kits are usually in, like, a PC tower case, so it's like, I don't know.
You know, Sony could get us to shut the fuck up about this by just showing us the console. But that's what the next few months are going to be like until
you know, it's going to be a giant boomerang, like the boomerang controller for the PlayStation 3 that never happened.
Oh my God, Loki, I forgot about those. The boomerang controller. Those things are actually kind of cool.
The Batarang.
Do you remember those, Darkstalker? They're at that one E3.
They looked uncomfortable.
They did, but they were kind of rad. Like, I was like, I could fuck up the Riddler with one of these.
Yeah, probably.
That's cool. Bring back the Batarang for PlayStation 5, although we already know it's going to be like the same damn controller, but with, you know, it sounds like maybe the haptic feedback type of thing, which is cool. I mean, in the reality, that is probably the better solution. So, it's going to be interesting to see Sony make their counter move, but I think one thing we should all kind of be ready for is that they might not. Like, Sony really could wait until after E3 to say anything.
Until after the console's launched.
Well, they can't go that far, but they can go up to like maybe 2 months before. I don't know. Do you know this from having been on the other side, the retail distribution side of things? I mean, I know the industry is much different from when you were in it, but like how much lead time does a big distributor need for like, oh, I got to put hardware on my shelf?
Oh, they don't tell us until the very end.
Okay.
And then until they've already made their announcement most of the time, unless you're a big retailer. But I had conversations with this one. I don't remember like the details of it, but it was all the way back to the Sega Genesis launch, or maybe it was Master System. But they were talking about like he was on the product launch team for that, and talking about like how they came up with the starter pack thing that they had, or something like that, and how like literally the announcement was like a banner on the roof or something like that of Sega. But he's talking about all the craziness behind that. So sometimes they don't really know what the plan's going to be until they do the plan. Hmm. You know, kind of going back to the three presentation theory there. But, yeah, like, well, you know, small distributors, you're not going to get heads up because they know that shit going to leak. So, of course, they're not telling anybody until they make the announcement. Then they'll send you the details if you're lucky.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, if Sony...
They may send you, like, the SKUs to set it up or whatever, but that's about it. No
if
price.
Sony wanted to wait till July or August to announce the console, it's not going to hurt them in the long run.
Nope.
So that's a reality we should
especially,
prepare for.
Like, in August when you have... I don't know if they're going to Gamescom still, so, you know.
Gamescom would be a really good time for them to pull the curtain back on it.
They usually do presentations
there,
assuming
you're right.
That they're going to...
I would say Gamescom is when you're going to get a beefy amount of information.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and by then, hopefully, you'll have more third parties announcing titles for the PlayStation 5 as well. Yeah. And
we could get something at GDC. Sony has done GDC announcements before. PlayStation Home. Wasn't VR? PlayStation VR was a GDC announcement, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
They have, and usually they've been, or Move, or one of those things was like a
I would be curious about the next PlayStation VR as well. Yeah.
It is possible by the time we do our next show, or even by the time people are hearing this because of GDC, they may have said some stuff. So we'll see.
They're waiting.
And we're going to sound real stupid.
They're waiting. They're waiting for us to go on break. They're okay. Now it's all the things.
Now hit the
do
button.
It. Now. Nobody listens to them, but still, we're going to fuck them over anyways.
I love it. So we'll see. Stay tuned. But if it's a little more time, then it's a little more time.
I did want to mention, though, like, because usually when you have consoles launch and stuff, that the hardware that they put in them is kind of like current-gen hardware. But what's kind of neat, though, about that RDNA GPU is that it is the brand-new architecture that hasn't even launched yet. So that's, like, new, cutting-edge new for, like, the GPU, which is pretty awesome.
Huh. That is cool. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about things not so new, but maybe a little new. It's the types of games we've been playing this week. So let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week so far?
Lots of ghosts and goblins.
Cool.
Bam, 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 ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. Not really. And then the usual cell phone stuff. I really have been just so brain dead with all the stuff that I have going on right now. Mm-hmm. However, I did do something kind of gaming related that maybe the listeners will hear before too long.
You can talk about it. It's fine.
Well, I worked on a theme song for the show.
Yeah. So
I was supposed to be paying attention in my class today.
So there's, yeah, I've heard the draft of a Dark Sakura created theme song, and it's good. Like, it's, you know, it's, we gotta just, you know, the timing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for everybody to hear it. So
and
stay
then
tuned.
Poking a couple of somebodies.
Yes, yes. Obviously, voiceover guy Jason will still be here to do the voiceovers every week, but we need a new voice for the. You know, it's Orange Lounge Radio with Dark Sakura, Rob, you know, and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So,
but not that we don't appreciate what Mitty Head did for
us. Oh, yeah, yes. And stream him on Spotify. Support him, please. He's helped us out a bunch over the years. But it's just, yeah, we've had that theme song for over 10 years.
It's time. And I got to play a lot in Logic, which was fun. Mm-hmm. The more I use it, the more I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yep. Cool.
But that's what I was doing.
All right. How about you, Loki?
I just played more Minecraft with the kids, so on our realm that we have, I went to the Nether and tried to find another fortress, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make a, you know, a portal to this Nether fortress, and then, of course, every block in the Nether is 8 blocks in the surface, and, like, I literally walked for, like, five days in there, and I still wasn't close to where I was supposed to the actual village that we're in. So I just gave up and killed myself so I could spawn back at the village. Because I'm like, this is taking too long. They're like, you're never going to get back. You're just gone forever. So it's like, I'll find another one that's closer. So I was doing that.
All right. That it?
Oh, and Ornament. I'm still waiting. I'm upgrading a level 10 weapon, so I have to wait 3 days for that stupid thing.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I never had
it. It ends tonight, though, so.
Okay. I was like, I don't have enough material to do past, like, level 4 or 5, so, wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Don't take my land, though. They need to do something. Like, you're right. There's, like, one person who has, like, easily half this town. So, like, they need to do something where, like, if he or she is not regularly going to that place, then they need, like, a deterioration mechanic. Like, how in Ingress, portals decay. How in Pokemon Go gyms, the Pokemon get weaker as time goes on, right?
Yeah.
Like, Orna really needs something like that, because otherwise it's just about who claimed it the earliest and then leveled up to level 250 so nobody can take them out.
Oh, like, eventually I'll get to that point, and then it's just going to be like,
game on.
It's just going to take it all over.
Yeah.
It's all mine.
Declaring open war on what's her name. So I think the shadow looks female. So I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
You, Anti-Saint Mike.
Their number is up. All right. Well, that's not the name I was thinking of. There's another name, like, everywhere, like downtown and everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah. So
my area is Anti-Saint Mike and the ghost of Anti-Saint Mike.
Colleria or something like that is the one I see everywhere. Anyway.
Part of, like, yeah, they have, like, it's something ornate, something of the burrito, or I don't remember.
Oh, their little
that's
guild.
Their guild. Yeah.
And look, I'm all for, hey, if people are going to be aggressive and want to play the game hard and control their territory, that's fine. That's what Ingress is all about, yo. But I just think the game shouldn't, like, reward somebody for just
and
for getting
it. It's not
first.
Like you get you really much. It's like you get 10 gold every day.
Yeah, but you can't create your own kingdom until you have 100 pieces of land. You need 100 reputation.
Oh,
yeah. You can't create your own kingdom until you have 100.
Oh, I didn't know you can even make a kingdom.
Yeah, so it's a pain. All right. That it for your game week?
That's it.
All right, my gaming week. So I haven't played a lot because it's still early in the week, but continuing with Final Fantasy 14 because I'm a nerd. Got to get my tomes, cap my tomes. And then I've been playing No Man's Sky still just a little bit. I haven't been playing a lot this week. But what I did do, so do you guys remember on the last show I mentioned that I took a really great screenshot in No Man's Sky that I loved? So guess what? So I decided to take my favorite virtual exploration game and combine it with my real world exploration game. So I made a banner in Ingress, a mission banner, out of that screenshot. So I only had time to do the first row by walking around the park. And sadly, I can't put this on screen yet, but that's what it looks like. So
oh,
you can
that's
actually
awesome.
See, yeah, if you want to see that, you can actually see it's a little screenshot from the game. And actually, you can see my little explorer there in the corner. And, yeah, I thought that was really cool. So, yeah, now I just have to finish the rest of it. Because once I do the I did the walk, it's one part walking, and then you have to kind of drive a big loop around town just because it's the only way I could get enough portals. I didn't want to do, like, another banner downtown. There's already, like, a million of them.
Yeah.
Right? So I did this one on the east side of town, like McKinley Park, if you know where that is. It's, mm-hmm. That's where this one is all – like, that's you have to walk that park to get that first part. Mm. And then it's the Ladybird Park. If you saw the movie, it's the Rose Garden that they have a scene in.
I used to walk around that park every day at lunch.
Yeah.
When I worked at the cannery.
Yeah, it's a lovely park. So mission 4 or something of that mission starts at that Rose Garden. So there you go. A little so if you've seen that movie, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so that mission series is there, and I'm looking forward to doing the rest of it, which will have the kind of like Saturn-looking planet behind it with the rings. It's very giant and this kind of the solar burst. I'm really excited to do that. Mm-hmm. I like being able to mix my favorite games together like that. So
cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Anyway. All right, so that was my gaming week. Let's get into some of the headlines this week so far.
Yes. So unfortunately, we're going to start with some sad news. So the creator of the Konami Code, Kazuhisa Hashimoto, has died at age 61.
That's pretty young, all things considered. 61 is not old.
The age is actually disputed because it either says 61 or 79, depending on what source you look at.
Oh, that's a huge discrepancy.
Yeah, it's a big discrepancy.
That's a big discrepancy. Regardless, still sad to hear. But I didn't know. I guess I never knew that the actual code was attributed to like one person. I have to admit, I did not know. Did you know that, Jay? Maybe you did. I didn't know it was attributed to just one person. I thought it was just some type of like nebulous internal. You know, sometimes those old cheat codes from back in the day.
But how many people were actually programmers on games during the NES era?
True, true. No, you're right. Or in the Atari 2600 era, right? It was like one person made all those games,
yeah.
or would do a game. And in the NES era, you're right, it'd be a small team, probably 10 or less, that would make those games. So that's true. And a lot of those old codes kind of came from, they were like bug testing or dev codes,
yeah, dev
basically.
Test.
So like other people weren't supposed to know the code. So was Gradius the first game to use it? Probably. It had to have been, right? So you use up, up, down, and left, right, B, A, start, and that is what gets your ship all the, like, full power and everything, so you can, you know, test the level a different way than having to earn it all. So, and a lot of old cheat codes, and I think even passwords and things like that, were for this. And they just would get left in the game because, you know, back in the day, it wasn't as easy to just patch things out.
Yeah.
You know, or things like that. So they would just get left in the game, and then eventually someone squeals. You know, one of those devs tells their friend, did you know you could do this? You know, and then that friend tells another friend, and word spreads around. I mean, I have a hard time believing somebody.
And then that
just
word spreads to GamePro magazine.
Exactly.
And then
or you know, when, and I bet this technique was used, absolutely. When sales of the game start slowing down, oh, did you know there's a code? Generate interest in the game again. Get it printed in the next magazine so people can rent it or check it out. I'm absolutely sure that was part of the strategy back in the day. Now it's, you know, sell them an unlock code for 99 cents. But
and then we've got news that Platinum Games is publishing its own original game under the working title Project GG. He said, unlike any of the games we've made so far, it's going to be 100% Platinum Games title. For everything from its setting to its characters and its game design and story to how it's promoted, Platinum Games is in full control.
And by the time this airs, they'll know what it is, right? Because I believe I heard Platinum is pulling back the curtain on it tomorrow. So
yeah, they have a teaser, so we'll have to wait and see.
So unfortunately, you guys know something we don't know yet. So I'm hearing a lot of chatter. People think it might be Beautiful Joe, another entry in the Beautiful Joe series. But, I mean, it could be an original IP. It looks a little more
original
to me.
Some of the screenshots that they have don't look like Beautiful Joe, but wait and see, I guess.
Weirder things have happened. So
yeah,
we'll see. I'm all for original IP. Or what if it's fucking, especially because they say 100% platinum and it's all platinum, what if it's Scalebound? Remember how Microsoft
stopped that?
Because that's the one thing I'm going to read into a little bit is how they say it's 100% platinum. It's all platinum. Like, they're kind of framing something there, right? I don't know. Just, okay, I'm going to look stupid because y'all know something I don't yet. So we're playing Time Warp here. So we'll see.
All right. And this is kind of cool. Since I was just talking about Minecraft, you may remember back in 2013 that there was a Mass Effect data pack for Minecraft that was released, which allowed you to play as the skins of the characters from Mass Effect, as well as they had some of the worlds and stuff from that as well.
I didn't know they got rid of it.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been compatible with the newer versions of Minecraft until just now. So now you can actually play it on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, and mobile.
Got it. Okay, I just assumed, I guess maybe I didn't understand enough about how Minecraft worked. I just assumed, oh, you could only get it on the 360 and whatever. They don't sell it on the other ones. I didn't realize it was a compatibility. Well, that's cool. Have you ever seen the, because I know you're a big Mass Effect stan like me, have you ever seen like the Minecraft, or the Mass Effect skin for Minecraft?
Have I played Minecraft in at least a year?
It's super cute, though.
I haven't seen it.
Speaking of playing things in a year, I'll give you guys an Alan update. Alan is playing the Mass Effect trilogy from the start once again because he said it's been years and I want to play it again. So that is his current like game of the moment.
I like how he thinks.
He's still on Mass Effect 1. It's been a couple weeks. But that's very much his, because I know what he's doing. He's playing every single mission in the game.
That's what I always do.
Yep. So anyway.
And then speaking of Minecraft some more, and then we'll also talk about a little bit Metroid Fusion. Somebody, for some reason, spent 7 years of their time programming Metroid Fusion into Minecraft. Actually recreating the game using...
The entire game? Or, like, just that?
I don't know if it's completely done yet, but basically he's got...
impressive.
It's all with command blocks and just... It's ridiculous, like the sprites and everything.
See, now,
with
I would have thought this is made in dreams on PlayStation 4 or something like that.
Nope. But, yeah, they've got, like, some images, like, that he shared back, like, years ago. But it's just ridiculous. But he's saying he's going to continue working on it until Nintendo shuts him down. But he says he's 100% fine with that.
Which will be tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, it's been going on for 7 years.
Is it something that can be put in Minecraft on the Switch?
I don't know if that would be able to run that.
Yeah, it's probably too, like, because all the console versions are kind of limited on how much space you have and all that, right?
Yeah, so it would be pretty hard. But yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But that would be kind of funny if he put it on the Switch and it's like, just try and shut me down now. This is funny. I don't know.
Hackers could put it on the Switch, maybe.
True.
And then we got, since we are just about to approach March, we've got our Games with Gold and PlayStation
Plus. You mean we're in March. It's March 1st
today.
Oh, yes,
March 1st today.
That's right. Check your calendar, Loki.
But these games haven't released yet, so that's fine. So on the Xbox side of things, we have Batman the Enemy Within, the complete season. And then we have Shantae Half Genie Hero. Those are the Xbox One games. And then on Xbox 360, Castlevania Lord of Shadows 2 and Sonic Generations.
I'm sorry. But Lords of Shadow 1 was bad enough. Why did they have to give us 2?
Because Konami's got to make some money. And then on the PlayStation side, we've got Sonic Forces and Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay, neat.
So not bad. And then last but not least, Good Old Games has changed their refund policy. So now if you play or purchase a game, you have 30 days after you purchase to you know, file for a refund. However, there are, you know, and they're basically they're saying that we trust that you're making informed purchase decisions and we'll use this updated voluntary refund policy only if something doesn't work for you as expected. While there's this is why there are no limits, but instead we reserve the right to refuse refunds in individual cases. Please respect all the time and hard work put into making making the games that you play, and remember that refunds are not reviews. If you finished the game and didn't like it, please consider sharing your opinion instead. Also, please don't take advantage of our trust by asking for an unreasonable amount of games to be refunded. Don't be that person. No one likes that person. So I like that that comment there at the end. But yeah, I do feel like this might open them up for some problems. But I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're aware of how people can be, because there are those people out there that will do this. But you know, I like that it's kind of open to, you know, don't be a dick, because we'll know that you're being a dick and we're not going to give you your refund.
That really opens it up though for like people to buy a game, beat the game, refund the game, like using this as a rental system.
But they could look at it and see them
kind of see that that's what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. I'd be very curious what the statistics look like a little bit after this. I mean, sometimes when you kind of trust, like, you know, there's a lot of games out there that just don't have any DRM at all, and they still sell pretty darn well, even with piracy.
I don't think these games have DRM.
No, I don't think they do either. So,
but that's kind of a, if you think about it, though, that still kind of sucks, though, for the individual, because I'm assuming that GOG isn't taking a hit on this stuff, so that kind of sucks for the indie developers that put out some of these games on the service, and then 30 days later, you know, they may be getting money taken away from them.
Depends on the abuse. It depends what maybe GOG's promised them about how they're going to enforce it. Like, you know, if a person does this X many of times in X window, we're going to review the play time and maybe, you know, not allow them to use the system anymore. So we'll see. Or GOG has achievements, right? So that's where the achievements could come back to bite you, because you would look at the achievements and see the person beat the game and then refunded it. And it's like, okay, come on. What are you doing? So it could be an interesting way to monitor the accounts. I don't know. All right. All right. Well, if that's it from you, let's check in with Dark Soccer and see what stories she wants to talk about tonight.
There's always shenanigans, you know.
There is.
Well, Harmonix has unveiled a new game. It's called Fuser, where it is a mixing game. You play as a DJ at a festival, as long as it's not Coachella, because the owner is a bad person. So it looks like they're going to have over 100 songs that you can mix in real time. So you grab vocals from one and the guitar from another.
Mashup simulator.
Pretty much.
It's literally Drop Mix. Like, Harmonix already did this game, except there's a twist. Drop Mix is a board game. It's a tangible thing with real cards. This is
going to sell better.
This is going to sell better, and it's Magic the Gathering Online, basically, right?
Yeah, but basically, it's like you're going to be managing from you have four different decks, and you have a few restrictions on what you can do. But it has to be the four. So it's going to be on Switch, PS4, PC, and the Xbone. So we'll see what it comes out like. It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love Drop Mix. Like, it's cool. But I understand, like, the game itself for Drop Mix is kind of like it's one of those games. Do you remember the board game Mousetrap that all had when we were kids?
That never worked.
Yeah. Well, it was also more fun to just set up the trap or try to put the trap in different ways or, you know, try to see what other weird things you can do with the parts than it was to actually play Mousetrap. And I think that's the kind of thing that happens with Drop Mix. Like, it's more fun to just sit there and play with the cards and make your own mixes than it is to, like, actually play Drop Mix.
We've got music going back to the 70s on here. I mean,
oh, the song list is great.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Blue Oyster Cult, The Clash. Yeah, some Gaga, some Lizzo, of course.
Yes, Gaga.
You know, through the 90s, through the aughts, through all of it. So it looks like it could be pretty interesting.
Hello. Y'all know I love music games. So I'll buy it, of course.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, that's the wrong link. I was helping somebody find beard sanitizer.
Oh. I was like, No, it's
an immunocompromised friend who has worries about the now airborne COVID.
The now local.
And airborne.
I thought there was only one case here locally. Or
yeah. I know. It's no big deal.
I'm not worried. I'm not bothered.
I'm about to go on a cruise, and hopefully it doesn't take me a month to get back. Who knows? This might be the last OLR for 6 weeks.
We have so many announcements. They're like, oh, my God, open the floodgates now.
I just hope it's not like it was a few years ago when I had swine flu and didn't know it.
If I do end up trapped on a boat due to COVID, at least I'll be trapped on a boat with Wilson Cruz and Kate Mulgrew. So it's like, you know.
I will play with your cat.
Okay, thank you.
I already told Dan I was going to come over to entertain the smush.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, my God. How would we take care of the cat? You would honestly, like, you would have to just take smush into your own home.
He and Midna would fight over the food bowl.
Well, it's just, yeah. Anyway, why are we even entertaining this? It's not going to happen. So why are we even entertaining
Anyways,
this?
Anyways, Streets of Rage 4.
Don't we like to fantasize about all the bad things that can happen to us?
Well, just... Drew posted on Facebook a little bit ago the quote from Welcome to Night Vale. May all of your dreams come true. All of them.
Oh, no. No. Who knew?
Anyway, Streets of Rage 4. It's getting some new stuff. When it launches, there is going to be 2-person online co-op.
Yay.
And up to 4-player offline co-op. Yay. And there's going to be new playable characters. One of them is Floyd, who is cybernetic. He actually was upgraded due to Dr. Zan from Streets of Rage 3. He's slow but strong. So, yeah, Streets of Rage 4. Hopefully it's a... gonna be awesome.
Well, Yuzo Koshiro's doing the music. That's all I need.
Okay, that's all I care about then. And there better be bare knuckle arcade machines in it.
We'll see.
So, little bit more. Dragon Ball Fighters Season 3 has gone live with a bunch of different changes. You get something called Z Assist that gives you assist attacks for every member of the roster, kind of like how it worked in Marvel versus Capcom. And it lets you create even crazier combos in the game. You would be able to choose your partner for like juggling or a projectile or a little bit more on that. So it'll be pretty neat. Few other things is that you will have a limit break. Thanks, Final Fantasy VII.
I was like, what is this, Final Fantasy?
Right. But basically when the player is down to their last fighter, they will get a slight damage boost and a free bar of meter, which would basically make them do like a last stand attack that's kind of similar to Mortal Kombat 11's Fatal Blows. So it's really just a combat mechanic. And then some new characters. So Kefla will be in there. And then there will also be Ultra Instinct Goku. All the Goku will be in the game, but I don't know. I mean, this character, she kind of annoyed me in the series. So, I mean, she was cool, but annoying in the series. So yeah, some cool stuff. Played the Dragon Balls.
I still have yet to, unfortunately, play this game, but at some point.
Yeah.
I'll play it eventually.
I reckon.
You know, I'm looking at this next story that I'm going to talk about, and this is one of those cases of advertising working, because I'm presented with a giant ad for the Double Dragon and Kunio-kun Retro Brawler Bundle,
which is kind of neat.
Which I remember discussing on a previous show. What I forgot was that, oh, it's like coming out like now, or in this case, it's already out. I forgot. So you've played it? You and Dan have played it?
Our friend has it. He brought over a Switch, and we enjoyed some of it. It was pretty fun.
Is it neat?
Yeah.
I can't wait to play some
of those. It's old school.
Yeah.
It's the classics. And
I'm excited that we have like new games in English, basically. This is a trend.
And it's the old school, like legit Neketsu games.
Yeah.
So
this is this random trend I'm loving all of a sudden is like all of these old ass retro games are suddenly getting localized for
Mother 3. Fuck you.
Well, Mother 3 already was localized for Europe, but
by fans.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I know.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. We continue to get screwed when it comes to Mother 3. But well, I was thinking Trials of Mana, of course, was the thing in my brain. So there's that. So, all right. Anyway, the story I was actually going to read before I got distracted by a giant advertisement. Good
Do
job,
it.
Ads. Was talking a little bit about no, Alan just got home. That's not the cat. Like, did the cat get out?
Well, because I didn't shut the door all the way.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Alan is probably opening a window. It is a little hot in here.
It is getting.
It's just
hot.
Me. Anyway, the story, the 2020 PlayStation Player Celebration. That's right. You have a chance to play more games and earn more trophies this year. It's the PlayStation Player Celebration. If the community hits some different milestones, such as 500,000 trophies, you get exclusive PS4 themes and avatars.
Ooh.
And one of the big prizes, a real-life platinum trophy. That's right. You can have a platinum trophy IRL, and you can show all your friends just how big your e-penis is with your
put that on your
trophy.
Tinder profile.
That's right. Put that on your Tinder profile. Anyway, this just got underway. I think February 24th was when the first community goal started, which was 125,000 games played and 500,000 trophies earned. There will be an exclusive static PS4 theme. And I imagine that we're probably going to unlock all these things anyway. I just don't see how the community doesn't actually unlock all these things. So, because
they probably put pretty achievable goals in there.
Yeah, they probably know like the averages, and they probably bumped it up slightly, but not too much. So it's I'm sure it'll be effective. So, and then the only other things I really wanted to talk about. Oops, I just randomly closed the story, but I remember that there's some changes with Overwatch. One of them is that the Overwatch League matches, some of them are getting canceled due to COVID, which is kind of not new news right now, right? We're hearing a lot of different things are getting canceled or people backing out or so forth. It will be interesting to see how PAX East went. I'm not worried about COVID. I'm just thinking about like how that
people
show
dropping
goes
out
with a lot of the folks that have dropped out. You know, but you know, having been to PAX, and we've all been to PAX. I mean, we went to PAX Prime 1 year, all of us together. That was a fun year. But you know, there's a lot of like board games going on 24/7 and LAN and, you know, people just celebrating gaming. So I feel like it's not like there's going to be a shortage of things to do. It's just that, you know, the expo hall is going to be a little less exciting, but they've still got indies. They got plenty of stuff to see. So, anyway, but the Overwatch League South Korean matches are being canceled due to the novel coronavirus worries or COVID because, unfortunately, that more and more cases are showing up in South Korea, just like we're hearing in Italy and what was it? Iran, I think, is the other big one since we last did a show. So, unfortunately, it's spreading. So some more events are being affected because of it. But something that will definitely affect everyone in Overwatch is a new experimental mode. So you may or may not know, depending on how much you play Overwatch, they changed the queuing system sometimes ago to be two tanks, two healers, and two DPS. So that way you kind of queue for matches in a certain role. Well, Overwatch is now testing a new mode where you can actually do three DPS and one tank and two healers. So they call it triple DPS or something like that, triple damage. That's it. And they're calling it an experimental mode. So it's not like they didn't replace the 2-2-2 system with this. It's a side thing. But it's supposed to help improve queue times because everybody wants to be DPS. Everybody wants to play Hanzo for some reason. So this is supposed to help those queue times. So, and the feedback on this will make Blizzard decide if they want to implement this into standard play. A quote from Jeff Kaplan, who is the lead designer. The experimental card is really focused on radical gameplay changes or things that we want to try out to get your direct player feedback on. We are unsure of these. So we'll see how that goes. Most people I've seen on Twitter seem to be enjoying it so far, though, and it makes sense. So it's just changing one tank to a DPS, and more people want to queue as DPS anyway, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. Anyway, that is it for the stories that we were going to cover tonight. So we're going to go into the listener roundtable. Since we're not live tonight, we can't take your phone calls on Discord, but we can talk about some of the stories that you guys have been posting on Discord. You guys have been posting a lot of stories, and I think we already touched on some of them. Like, I know the Konami Code one came up and some other things. But I thought this one was really cute. So we got linked to a story that talks about Nintendo's customer support going above and beyond for an older lady. This was reported in a local newspaper. I think it was picked up off of Twitter. But basically, long story short, this gal's mom always played her Game Boy. And when she reached the age of 95, her Game Boy stopped working. But they wanted her to be able to be happy and still play Tetris on Game Boy and stuff. So they called Nintendo to try to fix the Game Boy. But, of course, the Game Boy, they're no longer supported, right? Well, Nintendo's support went above and beyond, and what happened, they found a I guess they got within a week a response saying they didn't have the parts, but they found a brand new Game Boy in a warehouse of, like, you know, this actually is a very common thing.
I'm thinking like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark that
Well, companies do keep surplus stock on hand. Case in point, go back to the cases of why Atari had a landfill at one point. Because there was so much surplus stock because everything got sent back, they literally had no place to put it. But it's not super uncommon for companies to hold on to surplus stock of certain things. Four cases kind of like this, actually. Like, I know my high school, I know this because I was on the yearbook committee in high school, there was a shed out back. That was a storage shed, and what they had one box of every yearbook they've ever printed over the years. So when I was there, it was like 30 years worth of yearbooks, and there's probably another 30 years worth of yearbooks there now. And it was specifically for when people would call the school and say, my house burned down, or I lost this in a fire, or is there any way I can replace this? They have one box of books to be able to so if you've ever lost your yearbook, call your school. They might have something. If that's something of importance to you. So I thought that was kind of neat. So I think this is partially that, and partially just sometimes they don't know where else to put this shit. Like, have you ever looked at your garage? You probably have a lot of shit out there that you don't really need. And I think a lot of this happens with Nintendo too.
It wouldn't really surprise me. I mean, I've bought sealed in box old stuff from work. You know, not going to say where I work, but I've done it before.
Sure, yeah. So anyway, I don't think it's quite as novel that they still have one on hand. But what is novel is the fact that they went the extra mile and sent her that for free with a letter wishing a nice long life. And as a nice footnote here, the grandmother lived to be 99. So went on another 4 years. So powered by Game Boy and four AA batteries. So very nice. Cool. I thought that was a very nice story from our Discord. So let me get to some tweets. Going to some tweets. I opened up the Twitter earlier this week, at OLR, and I, like four or five times, asked for stories, and we got two tweets. So I'm a little bit sad that more people aren't tweeting us, but to be fair, I should probably be more active on the Twitter if I want more people to engage, so I will try to get better at that. In the meantime, we will read these tweets that we got. So our first tweet tonight from Garth the Wolf, who tweets us, have you guys checked out Nier Automata yet? It's legitimately one of the best games I've played and probably my favorite of this past generation. It also has a killer soundtrack and story. Please check it out if you get the chance. Has anyone played Nier Automata?
It's been on my wish list for a while.
It's been on my list, and I haven't gotten to. You know what's sad? I've played the first Nier, a little bit of it, but I still haven't played Nier Automata. But, and I don't know if you know about this.
That's a game where if you eat a fish, you'll die.
In Final Fantasy XIV, the raids right now, the new 24-man raids, are all inspired by, because they're co-created by the guy behind Nier Automata. So this current raid, the 24-man raid, and I've been running this raid quite a few times, it's called the Copied Factory, and it's inspired by Nier. So like a lot of the monster design, because like, you know, when it doesn't look like Final Fantasy when you're in there. It's all like big, these gigantic mech robots and things, and like the last guy's in a tank, and like it's like Transformers and shit. He transforms into a plane that starts gunning you on the ground and stuff, but it's really cool. But the music is some of the best music in the game. And I don't know if they lifted it from Nier or if they had who's the guy who does all the music? The guy, I can't remember his name in the moment, but the guy who does all the music in Final Fantasy 14.
Sakurai,
yeah. I don't know if they had him do all that, but yeah. I love the music in there. It's some of the best. So, all right, I'll have to put that on the list. Anyway, let's go to Dark Tetsuya, who says, I've been playing Contra Rogue Core, and I have to say it's not nearly as bad as people are saying it is. Incidentally, on the subject of the Konami code, it does appear in the game, but really only to obtain one of the game's various medals. Still a neat nod to it. Oh, so that's kind of cute. So you put in the Konami code, and it's like, sorry, you don't get shit, but this achievement.
Yeah,
that
but
means
I've
nothing.
Watched gameplay of that, and it looks really terrible. Like, I get it; it's not as terrible as you thought it is, but it's still pretty terrible. I'm not playing it. I was really excited for it too, but then I saw gameplay. I'm like, no, that's not Contra. Sorry.
Well, okay, but. Has there ever been a game, and I ask this for Dark Sakura or, you know, anyone out there really, because I know we still have a chat room going tonight. Has there been a game where, like, everybody just shit on the game, but you like the game, damn it. Like, it's not as bad as everybody says it is. For me, okay, I'm going to tell you what game for me that is. Friday the 13th on the original NES. Because I think that game, at least when I was a kid, legit scared the hell out of me. And I thought it was a really good soundtrack. And I thought it was really hard. I remember being a total flop at the game. But then I see all this stuff later about how, like, oh, it's the worst NES game ever made. No, it's not. It's
no.
Not the worst. There are far worse games on the NES. So that's, like, one of mine. Are there any, like, games that everybody shit on, but you're like, it's not that bad? And it's Soken. I'm like, Sakurai is the guy that made... Smash Brothers. That's not his name. Soken.
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure I've liked some really bad games out there, but I can't think of... I liked Abadox for a while. I mean, but that wasn't really that bad of a game. I know. There was a hot minute where my brothers and I were super obsessed with playing the terrible Home Alone game on SNES.
There we go.
And I did enjoy Blastress with the Super Scope. But
Blastress was fun.
But there's not, like, too many really bad games.
There was something really novel about the fact that the Super Nintendo, it didn't just have a light gun. It had a fucking bazooka.
Yeah.
Like, talk about one of the most badass, like, peripherals that a company has ever put out. Like, justice for the Super Scope. That thing was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I know. I miss the bazooka. We need that. We need a bazooka game. Hey, YYR.
He's not manufacturing peripherals.
No. We need a sharpshooter mode. Because buy sharpshooter on Steam. There's your plug, okay? But we need a mode that supports a bazooka.
I'm sorry. He's not supporting that.
No, I know. He doesn't just exist to make all of our wishes come true.
You'll have to rig it yourself using some sort of, like, I don't know what sort of jank peripheral would connect a Super Scope to a computer, and then do it that
it's
way.
Got to be out there.
They do have controller converters.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. It's just a matter of being able to read the screen and all that. So
which you probably can't do.
Yeah. All right, yeah, because, like, light guns don't even work on new TVs.
But I'm sure that by some magic and a Raspberry Pi shoved into a Super Scope, you probably could make it work.
There we go. Now we're talking. All right. Anyhow, that's it for the Listener Roundtable for tonight. You can always tweet us more at OLR if you want to send us a tweet. Or, excuse me, you can always send us an email as well, because I don't think we had any
I like
tonight.
The Excitetruck. That's not necessarily a highly – I don't think anyone hated that game, but I really liked that game.
I did. You liked it more than most people did.
Yes.
But you're right. I don't think anyone hated
it.
It
was an
game,
awesome game, which will never cool. be a sequel for, you know, or, well, there was, but
which is
that
sad.
Was absolute gar. Like, what the hell were you thinking? Make a sandwich in the middle of the goddamn race? Throw a pie at a clown? What the fuck is that? That's not a racing game.
The whole fact that they kind of, like, took Excitebike. I mean, and, like, it was one of those things, like, I didn't even get it until, like, the game was already out and I've been playing it for a couple weeks. So I was like, oh, Excitebike, Excitetruck. Oh.
It's not really at all the same, but it's...
Because they're not. They're not at all.
Aside from, like, maybe the turbo mechanic was kind of similar, but that was about where it ended. But, you know, then Excitebots just went off the fucking rails.
Mm-hmm.
and on the rails too, because there was rail sliding in that game for God knows what reason.
All right. Anyway, if you want to email us, participate at orangelawntrader.com, or if you want to tweet us at OLR. Let's take a trip down memory lane and visit the classic game of the week. So every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she says, "Hey, you should put this in your house and play it."
Good luck. I mean, you'd have to have a pretty big house for this.
For the folks on Twitch, I do not have video footage of this tonight just because we had to put this show together very fast. But this is an interesting pick anyway. I feel like
it's
this
not
is,
something that would work, I think,
this
for
is
video.
Half peripheral of the month. We're going back to that
it's
a little.
It's the nausea game for me, too, because I used to get really motion sick with this.
But it's rad. It's metal as fuck.
Yeah. Dan, this was like his whole reason for ever wanting to go to Dave and Buster's.
Yep.
And so
Bobby Blackwell's going to perk up because I know he's a fan of this, too.
So I picked BattleTech Centers. It's basically virtual environment venues. So you have these pods, fully enclosed cockpits that have multiple screens inside, rudder pedals, joysticks. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the inspiration for, I don't remember the English name, Tekka? Xbox mecha game? I remember the...
With the $200 accessory, it was like Warrior Mech?
No, it wasn't Mech Warrior. I know what you're thinking of. It's Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion, thank you. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if this was an inspiration for it. So at any rate, it could be found all over... You actually can still find them in some places in the U.S. But the first BattleTech Center opened in Chicago in 1990. There was another one in Yokohama in August 1992, Tokyo 1993, and eventually 26 facilities opened up that had, you know, more elaborate operations. The locations were called Virtual World.
We had one in the middle of, like, I don't even remember what it was called, but it was, like, some sort of, like, super bar that was, like, multiple bars, and you had to walk through the bar to get to the virtual world thing. So that was always weird because...
Yo, dog, I heard you like bars.
It was weird. Like, I don't remember what it was called, but it was, like, they had, like, seven bars all attached to each other, and it was the strangest thing, but virtual world was right in the middle for some reason.
Well, at any rate, it consisted of 16 networked pods that partially designed by Frog Design, and it was highly interactive and really fun. It actually was even in a Discovery Channel documentary called Beyond 2000. You could compete against players in other centers across the country. They actually had another non-BattleTech game included called Red Planet. It was racing through mining tunnels on Mars using hovercrafts. But then, of course, as arcade games advanced, you know, by 2000, there were no more operational BattleTech centers in Japan. In 1996, Virtual World and FASA Entertainment Technologies merged. And became wholly owned subsidiaries of Virtual World Entertainment Group. And then Microsoft bought them. So they actually integrated a lot of that into the Microsoft Game Studio division. And then all of the interest in Virtual World Entertainment was sold to some other guy. And their offices went to Kalamazoo. Yeah, it's kind of funny. But anyway...
It literally went to Kalamazoo. It's not just a metaphor.
Seriously, the office moved from Chicago to Kalamazoo. So there was the Virtual World Tesla 2 cockpits. They opened in November 2005 with 8 Tesla 2 pods, and then they added another 4. And so now they do the BattleTech Invitational with 12 pods. I mean, it's kind of evolved since then, and sometimes... there is a company called Mech Jock LLC refit the existing Tesla 2 pods so that they could bring those BattleTech centers to different conventions. So they brought it to Gen Con 2007. It's been brought to Comic Palooza, Onicon, MechaCon, and Dragon Con. Did you've seen it at Dragon
it is
Con?
It is there every year at Dragon Con, but it's one of those staples. Like, if it ever disappeared, like, even though I've never done it in all the years, I've always walked by and go, oh, cool, I remember those. And there's always a group that's there playing it. But in all the years I've been to Dragon Con, I've never done it. But, like, if it left, I would be like, how could they get rid of that? Like, you know how that is, right?
Well, yeah. Well, other cons that is going to be at or has been at, there will also be Gen Con, Origins, ASEAN, and Yomacon. In 2006, some players in Japan bought 4 Tesla pods from the U.S. and put together a virtual world center in Tokyo.
What year was that again?
2006.
Oh.
And... But the pods are semi-operational, even though they had no way to really repair them. They can't get the parts for them anymore. June 2012, Mr. Big's Family Center closed and their assets were auctioned off, including their 12 pods. Now someone owns 12 pods. So he removed his assets and put them into storage. In 2011,
along with a pallet of unopened Game Boys.
In 2007, the airlock in Kirkland, Washington, closed with 8 Tesla simulators transferred, and the Washington Secretary of State, there's like a show called Better Than Life, says that it's inactive. Some of this doesn't make sense as how it's put on here. There were 8 pods in 2011 that were listed on Facebook at 2 private home arcades. 2017, Virtual World Entertainment relaunched its website at mechjock.com, stating that they're developing cockpits again and have updated software featuring 5.07D to be played in Houston, Grand Rapids, and Minneapolis.
Yeah, those are pretty dated by
2018. BattleTech Center and Game Store Big Kids in Grand Rapids, Michigan, permanently closed. PodTracker lists these pods as being private and in control of the owner of the store. So of the remaining ones, we have the Fallout Shelter Arcade in Twin Cities, Minnesota, Metcore Entertainment LLC in Houston, Texas, and Hangar 51 in Montreal. So Fallout has 12, Metcore has 18, and Hangar has 10. And so the last one I saw was our Dave and Buster's in Milpitas at the mall. Because we would go play that.
I remember those. I do.
Remember we would do my birthday every year.
There'd be that, and there'd be Derby Owners Club.
And then I would be really drunk and go,
Derby Owners Club.
Derby Owners Club is still there, I think.
It's, oh, my God.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Where would those all go? Like, seriously, like, they're...
Where all the horses go,
one,
Loki.
Oh, no.
There's one in San Francisco, because when I went with JD to Dave and Buster's out further past, like, closer to Diamond Heights? Out that way, further out?
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, but we played over there.
Hmm.
I mean, it was occupied, and I didn't have my horses. I do still have my horses. Do you still have Politeri?
Oh, God, no. I threw them in the garbage.
Like the game. It's in the garbage.
I still have Panda Half.
I will say, because I know Bobby Blackwolf is probably
Magical
shouting.
Sound.
He's probably shouting in chat right now that he once had an interview all about this game and what it's become with the, you know, all these years later with the Dragon Con pods and all that. So I don't know what episode number off the top of my head, but I'm sure he will provide a link.
Oh,
but
it was
a good interview, and it's, if you want to know more about this game and how it evolved and the state of it currently, check it out.
Well, there's a little bit more, because there was a BattleTech animated series.
Cool.
That was done in that universe, produced by Saban. But yeah, apparently there's also books, and Mech Warrior is, I guess, kind of related in the same series. So that also means then that the BattleTech stuff is exactly what I was playing in tabletop. So cool. There you go.
All right. Again, an 8-player pre-owned Derby Owners Club for only $26,000.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. And like a whole room or two of your house.
Dark Sakura, do you need a bedroom? Which do you want more, a bedroom or a Derby Owners Club machine?
Do you realize my bed takes up one whole room? All the crap in my office two computers, a TV, a bunch of video game stuff, and all my crafting supplies. Uh-huh. And then our game room, our legit game room that I probably could have put it in, is taken up by three pinball tables. And we've got five more in the garage and four in the house.
She is not like this is not hyperbole. This is real. Like I've been to this house. They really are. They have
well,
a room
and one
full
of the ones
pinball.
At my house isn't even mine, which you need to come play before it gets reclaimed.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because it's scared stiff.
Well, I'm gonna be gone for a little bit. But
do you think Sega would sue me if I made a game called Derpy Owners Club?
Derpy Owners Club.
As long as it's full on parody, they can't under the rules of parody.
Yeah, as long as it's parody.
I'll consider that. Table that.
You need like
go. Now another Loki game got derailed because he got a better idea.
Although Derpy Hooves is a copyright of
no,
Derpy
it's
Con.
Not Derpy. We'll just do all sorts of derpy shit.
Okay, all right.
Will you finish this one?
Oh yeah, of course.
He'll finish it more than he's finished any of the others.
No, I'm not going to start a new game. I just thought that'd be a funny idea. I have lots of really dumb ideas for games that like are just floating around out there that I haven't made yet.
Why don't we do that as a bonus episode? Loki tells us about all his dumb ideas for games. Give us one.
It would be like Pokemon Go, but with roadkill. And you would actually have to get like, so it's not necessarily roadkill per se, but you'd be capturing animals that are just ordinary animals. So it's not like, you know, like Pikachu and stuff. It's like a squirrel, but we'd be calling them different things like trash pandas and stuff like that. And then you would level up your characters, in the game. Like they had the little internet comics for a while where like they had like, it was like hamster fighting or whatever. And they taped like knives to them and stuff like that. So it'd be like that. And also, I thought about a total adult version of, like, Animal Crossing, but, like, you know, where you're selling crack and stuff like that on the street.
I think a lot of people have that. A lot of people have had that. Yeah. But the roadkill, but it's literally, like...
Not really roadkill.
Not actual roadkill, but...
It wouldn't be, actual roadkill. It'd be, like...
But hamsters with claws.
It would just be, like, you know, like, oh, I encountered an animal, or, like, a monster, but it's just, like, it's just an animal called something different, you know?
Yes.
Like danger noodles would be sick, you know, stuff like that. But it would be done in like a hillbilly, like trailer park aesthetic.
Okay. Yeah. That makes it better. Yes. There it is, your classic game of the week. Battles.
Girl.
All right, anyway. Moving on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. And we're going to try to cover kind of a long period here through... our next live show on the 15th.
All right. So we've got Granblue Fantasy Versus on PlayStation 4, Ib and Ob on Nintendo Switch, Murder by Numbers on Nintendo Switch and PC, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX on Nintendo Switch, Langrisser 1 and 2 on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Let's see, Ori and the Will of the Wisps on PC and Xbox One, Dead or School on PlayStation 4, My Hero One's Justice 2, that's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and last but not least, Neo 2 on PlayStation 4.
All right, heading over to Japan, let's check out Switch releases for March 6th, which include Pokemon Fushigi no Dungeon. That is obviously their version of Mystery Dungeon. So that is out in Japan as well on the 6th. And then also coming out in Japan, I think that's actually the only release on that particular day. So jumping ahead to March the 12th, we have Human Resource Machine Deluxe, Toa Arwe no Palm Refrain, and Caller Cross Malice for Nintendo Switch. I guess that's probably some type of anime or manga or something. But speaking of, if you're into the horsey games, Winning Post 9 2020 is also out on the Switch on March 12th. So you have that to look forward to. So if you're missing your Derby Owners Club, you always have Winning Post to look forward to. Checking out the PlayStation 4 to see what the big releases are there. You know, I don't see anything that early March. I don't really start seeing releases till March 12th, where Winning Post 9 is also out on the PlayStation 4. Kandagawa Jet Girls is out as well. and some price reductions on Far Cry New Dawn, The Crew 2, and Assassin's Creed Odyssey as they move into Japan's equivalent of, like, best hits. Okay. How about Europe?
In Europe, well, we're starting just with the beginning of March, right? Because...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because today is March 1st.
Because there's a bunch on the 27th, but yeah. Anyway.
But that already happened.
Yeah, sure, it did. So on the 5th, we have Carly and the Reaper Man, which sounds like a fun game, Escape from the Underworld. Also on the 5th, we have Pokemon Mysterious Dungeon Rescue Team DX, Ori and the Will of the Wisps on the 10th. On the 11th, we have Overpass. On the 12th, we have Bleeding Edge Beta. Also, Doctor Who, The Edge of Time for PlayStation. Hell Warders on the 12th. My Hero 1 Justice 2. That's from the My Hero Academia. Neo 2 on March 12th. And on the 16th, we have Remnant from the Ashes. I might have gone too far, but I don't care.
All right.
I might add, the week after we do our next show, Animal Crossing will be coming
out.
I
know. It's almost here. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting stuff.
Right. 3 weeks away.
I need.
All right. Well, that's about going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. But so I was just texted this by a friend of mine. Apparently, the first U.S. coronavirus case of unknown origin just confirmed in Northern California. And I guess it's... The individual is a resident of Solano County and is receiving medical care in Sacramento County.
I thought there was the one that came back from Japan.
Yeah.
There's a Korean lady now going around Southern California in Koreatown that turned out she was infected.
Huh. The individual had no known exposure to the virus through travel or close contact with a known infected individual. Uh-oh.
But it's like I said, they already confirmed that it was airborne.
Yeah.
So.
Fun. Well, I hope
in contact with coronas? I blame
I get to go on my cruise. All right. So
that means that I am going to go buy some more lysine and do things that boost up my immune system. But the people I'm more worried for are my friends who are immunocompromised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend's child, a couple friends of mine dealing with AIDS and HIV.
Mm-hmm. So elderly individuals.
Elderly.
Sure. Yeah.
Just... Do the things that will boost your immune system. Don't be stupid, but do the things that are just be intelligent about it.
Yeah.
Take normal precautions. Don't go around with a gas mask. You know, if you are immunocompromised, it might not be beyond the scope of reason to have maybe an N5 or N95.
Mm-hmm.
But again, be smart and learn how to fucking wash your goddamn hands the right way. Not just a little water. You have to scrub your hands.
Happy birthday to you.
And get in your nails and up at least past your wrist bone to be considered having properly washed your hands.
And you sing happy birthday twice.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So, and.
What?
Do not touch blood or bodily fluid. I'm just saying.
I'll do my best.
Because, well, it's just, I'm probably going to be renewing my first aid cert in the light of all this. So.
All right. Well, to practice good hygiene, everybody. We're going to wrap up final thoughts. Thank you guys for tuning into this special episode of Orange Lounge Radio, especially since, you know, I'm out of town for a couple weeks. We are planning to be back on March 15th. I guess I have to phrase it that way now. We're planning to be back on March 15th live over at VogNetwork.com. So we really hope to see you guys then. But otherwise, it's time to wrap things up. We're done here for the week. So if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then what are we going to do? So also very important to say that sharing the show, hosting on Twitch, all of that stuff goes a long way. We'll have a very long episode probably on March 15th to catch up on everything we missed because I'm sure there's going to be a lot between GDC and PAX and everything else. It's going to be something. I hope you guys will still be checking out Bobby Blackwolf and other independent podcasts, not just at VogNetwork.com, but all up and down the wonderful interwebs. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Dark Sakura.
I don't know. My brain is mushy. It's mushy.
My appropriate final thought for tonight would be live long and prosper. Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is that I don't have anything. I'm tired.
That's it. On that That's note. It. Rest up. Play some games. Make your
I'll play some more Minecraft because that's mindless.
That works. Ooh, actually.
I was literally about to hit the credits button, Dark Saga.
Well, it's just a little thing. Bob Iger stepped down as Disney CEO.
What happened yesterday?
It was just posted today, so sorry. Oh,
that's all right. Okay.
Well, GameStop will give you $5 a month if you do their pro subscription because they're desperate for business.
Do I have permission to end the goddamn show?
Maybe.
Yes.
Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.